Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
3 years ago this last week, St. Mary's, St. David's in South Yarmouth, and a number of other volunteers from different congregations around the Cape began a week-long summer camp program for children whose parents were incarcerated that became known as Amazing Grace. The prime impetus of offering this week of summer camp experience for kids was the staggering statistic that when a child has one parent incarcerated, they stand close to a 75% chance that they themselves will end up doing time in jail. If they have two parents that have been incarcerated, there's over a 90% chance that these children will end up in jail, unless there is some intervention that shows them some stability, some love, some of the grace of God that is not present in their incredibly painful and chaotic lives. Ross Anderson and Carol Bolstad and many other people who had experience with these kinds of camps in other parts of the country came together and, under the initial direction of Eleanor Brown, launched this amazing program. This last week, 21 campers came together to experience a week of joy and complete unconditional love and acceptance by the counselors. I had the privilege of being there for just one afternoon this year and spending some time with the children, doing a dream catcher craft with them. Dream catchers, as you know, are Native American crafts that were developed so that the bad and difficult dreams of the night are captured by the dream catcher, but the beautiful, peaceful, hopeful, calm thoughts and dreams can come through into the person who sleeps. This was a particularly moving and poignant craft to do with the children because these particular dream catchers were made specially for the Amazing Grace children by our partner reservation in South Dakota, Rosebud Reservation, by a man named Eddie. And so to know that Eddie had crafted these dream catchers for these children on Cape was, to me, a beautiful expression of the different ministries at St. Mary's. While I was working on the craft with the children, one little girl, an 8-year-old little girl named Katie, I'll call her, was particularly hard to get focused. She was fussing with the beads or the feathers or the different things that were on the table in front of her. I have a lot of experience with children not listening to me. And so I'm pretty good at redirecting children to help them stay focused, to help keep them moving along. And this little one, I absolutely could not get through to. The anger in this little, tiny little body was barely contained. The tiniest little brush by her neighbor sitting at the picnic table would send her off to sit by herself for one of the volunteers to have to cajole her back. The littlest bit of frustration in attaching the feathers or the beads to the dream catcher would trigger a massive explosion that was pretty difficult to get back under control. Knowing that all of these children come from incredibly painful backgrounds, I wasn't surprised, but was frankly a bit taken aback by the level of constant acting out that this little girl was demonstrating. Later that evening, I learned a little bit about her story from one of the volunteers, but more importantly, from one of the other campers. Because at the closing ceremony that I was privileged to attend on Friday, this little girl, who obviously had continued that behavior throughout the camp and pretty regularly distanced herself from the other campers, positioned herself sort of on the opposite side of the amphitheater from the other campers. The 20 of them were sort of sitting in a line in the front row, and this little Katie had herself off to the side in the back, looking extremely sad, slash angry, slash surly, just miserable. The other children had obviously learned to accommodate that, to a certain extent and gave her her space. But at some point, as this closing ceremony was unfolding, where the campers were invited forward to share some of their favorite experiences, riding horses or down at the waterfront, doing zip lines, participating in an African drumming group, going on a night hike. I mean, so many extraordinarily and wonderful activities. At some point during this, little Katie started to sob. Tears, I mean, you could see just giant tears streaming down her face. And her eyes were scanning all of the parents, foster parents, grandparents, who were sitting behind me. Went on for a couple minutes and nobody was moving toward her, although the other counselors were aware of what was going on, so I figured it's not my place to intervene, but my heart really went out to this little person. And it was only a couple of minutes into this that the four older girls who were graduating from camp, the camp is for 7 to 11-year-olds, and next year they'll go to the YMCA camp, Camp Hayward, that these four 11-year-old girls swooped over, sat down on the bench next to her, and wrapped their arms around her. It was the most moving thing to watch these 11-year-old girls. And let me tell you, these girls have not had easy lives themselves. Step in and comfort this precious little 8-year-old. They sat there and they hugged her and they stroked her hair and they just poured love into that little body. At the end of the time, and eventually she came out of herself enough that she ended up participating in the last song and, you know, stealing a boy's hat and running around like any of the other campers. So that love brought her more completely into that communion. I got the chance to walk out with one of the 11-year-olds who I remembered from her first year at camp and sort of congratulated her on graduating. And I simply said to her, her name happens to be Grace, I said, "Gracie, it was so beautiful for me to watch you offer Katie such an extraordinary amount of love and tenderness. You're such an amazing young woman." And without missing a beat, she said, "Well, she was me last year. Last year, my dad was in jail and my mom was homeless. And I was sitting here at this closing ceremony without any of my parents here. And I was in one foster home, and my siblings were in different foster homes, and I didn't know what school I was going to, and I was really scared and sad. And so I just felt like I could tell her, it's okay, it will get better." In the letter to the Hebrews, when we are exhorted to let mutual love continue, these little children showed me a level of mutual love that is absolutely breathtaking. That they have come from such places of brokenness and heartache and are able to find in themselves, partly because they have received it from Hillary and from Ross and from Eleanor and for all of you who have volunteered at Amazing Grace, a sense of that love, it threw me on my heels and called me up short in ways that I have not experienced. And let me tell you, when I got in the car and I turned on NPR and I heard the disgusting political rhetoric that continues to issue from this political campaign, I wanted to scream with frustration. If these children who have no power, no wealth, no connections, no network, nothing to support them but their own faith and strength can be sources of mutual love to each other, then shame on every politician in this country who continues to fill our lives with nastiness and ugliness. Amen. When I watched these children, and I saw a future for our country that is full of giving and openness and compassion and love, I was so abhorred by the system that these children are going to have to live within. It is our obligation as Christians to support ourselves and these children in demanding from our politicians that mutual love continue. This is not a Pollyanna call. If you remember, for those of us who were around in the 60s and 70s, the great political rallies were fueled by songs like, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." You know, love is blowing in the wind. Those great political protest songs were all about peace and love and harmony and acceptance. That we have gotten to the point that the best we can expect from our politicians is that they're not flat out calling each other names that I never want to hear come out of the mouth of my five-year-old is absolutely disgusting. So I hope that with this image of these precious girls and boys, I mean, I could tell you Ross Anderson, anybody involved with Amazing Grace, please stand up. I think I see Dick back there. Dick volunteered over Everyday. Lisa, here's Hillary. Please go downstairs and talk with them after coffee hour about the stories of these children and how we can continue to support them through the year. Amazing Grace is not just a summer camp program, but it seeks to bring the children together throughout the year to continue building these bonds of affection and love, and for them to continue to feel our faithfulness to them. But if these children can find a different way of being coming out of such chaos and terror, abject terror in some of their lives, then we certainly can figure out a way to express to our politicians that we have had enough. Eleanor Brown is an amazing political activist. I know others of you are too. I personally have committed myself that every time I hear something on the radio, read something in print that I find offensive, not because of the stance, everybody is entitled to their own political view, but when the rhetoric and the lack of human respect and love for each other reaches that level of disgust, I have committed myself to emailing them and telling them that our children are ashamed of them. I invite you to figure out what makes sense for you. The political change through the 60s and 70s came because of people like us. And I am committed on behalf of that precious Katie, of my children, of your children and grandchildren, and all of our friends who deserve a country with political rhetoric that is worthy of the greatness of this nation, to demand that we receive it. Whatever that looks like for you, through prayer, through advocacy, through having conversations with your friends who are involved in the political system, I implore you to use your voice during this political season. Both parties are guilty. This is nothing to do with one party or the other, but the system is corrupt and broken. If we are to let mutual love continue, as a nation, as a community, as a parish, and as individuals, it begins with each of us. And may God strengthen us to know what we are called to do. Amen. Amen.